This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
Turn your Bibles just real quick over to the book of Hebrews. How many people have a Scofield reference Bible in their lap tonight, if that's what you're using? Brother Pete, you have one? Okay, everybody has a Scofield. Most likely have a Scofield, okay. Daryl, you have your Scofield. Huh? I mean, you don't need one. I'm making a point here. Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 4, if you have a Scofield reference Bible, anywhere in the Word of God that you find the word angel, it is going to refer you as a cross-reference to this particular verse. Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 4. Now, the Bible says here, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, made better than the angels. Now, if you have your Bible there and you're looking and there's a concordance in the middle of that verse there, you're going to find a number one, or you're going to find something relating to that that's going to give a definition of it. I'm going to ask you, you can look at that fine, but I don't want you to focus too hard on that right now. Why are we going to teach this lessons on angels? Last time I taught this back in 03, it was great. I enjoyed it. It upset some people's decor at home. I had people come taking print pictures down. It messed up. I had some people get mad. I had somebody buy the tapes, and I think a few people took them to work, and people were upset because they had to mess up their garden decor. You know, I'm not doing that to mess up your decor or your image or anything that you like. I'm just teaching this according to the Word of God. Now, what I'm going to share this with you this evening, and I want, you're going to find out that throughout this lesson, which is going to be a lengthy lesson, I'm not going to teach it quickly like we did before. Again, before we did it on a Thursday night Bible study, we talked for about an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes. It was informal, but it was straight teaching. I'm not going to be able to do that on Sunday evening, and I believe you'll absorb it much better. Angels are a very popular subject. You know that they are. They're a popular subject today. The world's paying a whole lot of attention to angels today, probably more today almost than they ever have. And that may seem strange because there's ancient pagan religions that worshiped angels. But you'll find if you look at some of the false religions today and the false belief, even among those beliefs that are called Christianity, you're going to find that they too are in some shape, form or fashion worshiping angels or spending much time with them. So there's going to be many topics covered in this study, and most people have not considered many of the things that we're going to cover, we're going to look at. But just because of the popularity of angels today, we need to look at the biblical precepts and the biblical teaching of what angels are according to the Word of God. So the main focus this evening is going to be an introduction, yes, but the main focus of this entire lesson is going to be what you see in the title, the truth about angels in and of itself. The things that we're going to look at, the 5 points that we're going to see, is number one, we're going to have an introduction of angels or two angels. We're going to look at the number of angels. We're going to look at the nature of angels. We're going to look at, then we're going to focus on heavenly beings. And then we're going to look on the position of angels. And those are all important aspects on learning the truth about angels. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're going to hear some things that you probably are not going to like. You're probably not going to agree with. But I'm going to say this to you this evening. As a whole, the only reference that is used, unless quotes are given, for just not even for supporting factors, maybe a contrast, the only source of reference that is used in this study is your good old-fashioned King James Bible. Amen? And I think that you can't get much better than that. So angels defined. Introduction to angels, and let's look at angels defined tonight. I told you to look in your center column there of your Bible. The word angel, or a form thereof, is mentioned almost 300 times inside the Bible. It's mentioned in 19 books. Out of all of the Word of God, it's mentioned 300 times in 19 different books. Now, I want to give you a definition of what an angel is this evening, and it will not coincide with what you have in the center column of your Bible. An angel is defined as an appearance. Now, how many people here have a Bible tonight that when it has the word angel and you have a little one or two or three or a letter next to it and you get a center concordance definition, how many people have messenger in their Bible? Just raise your hand. Most people do. You're not going to find any Bible. There is one, and nobody in this church has one, that is going to give the proper definition of what an angel is. An angel, my friend, by definition, is an appearance. Everybody probably has heard that angels are given by definition as messenger, and that's not true. Your Bible, you'll cross-reference, again, most of the verses, if you have a Scofield tonight, you're going to find most verses on angels are going to be cross-referenced with Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 4, and then C.I. Scofield will have his notes on what an angel is down there at the bottom. C.I. Scofield was a great man of God. I emphasize this. He is God. He is a man of God. He's not God. Okay? And he was wrong. He was wrong on his definition of angels, and we need to understand that. So, you're going to find messenger. Now, messenger, translated from angel or defined angel, did not show up until the early 1900s. Okay? It did not show up till the early 1900s. Can somebody tell me what started getting real popular in the early 1900s as well? Well, speaking in tongues. Now, that's interesting. Dad says speaking in tongues. In the early 1900s, that movement, and you know where that movement came out of? Remember I talked about the Welsh revival this morning from 1902 to 1904? Well, a group of people, when that revival ended, when God said it's done with, a group of people said, no, it's not done with. We're going to keep it going. And you know what they started doing? Speaking in tongues and all these evidence and all these signs. One of the things that appeared, that started appearing in the early 1900s were the perverted manuscripts, were the perversions, the modern versions. Now, in 1881, the RV showed up, and really no one paid it no account. Very few people did. But after that, you begin to have this development of perverted, quote-unquote, modern version Bibles. Friend, they are wrong. I'm not trying to rub you wrong, but I'm telling you, they're wrong. If it's not a King James Bible, you do not have the purified, perfected Word of God in your hands today. You say that's pretty close-minded? Yes, it is. Narrow is the way, straight is the gate, praise the Lord. Amen and amen. I'll be narrow-minded when it comes to that. So you don't find an angel being defined as a messenger. You don't find that anywhere in the teaching prior to the early 1900s. But it began to be popular. And again, I say C.I. Scofield started to take that teaching and put it into his Bible as well. And I'm not running him down. He was a great man of God. Angels are an appearance by definition. They are not a messenger because all angels do not carry messages. Okay? Now, to me, I think that's a pretty simple evidence of what the proper definition of an angel is. But all angels, multiple or single, have a task. All angels may not carry a message. We know that to be true. But in all cases, all angels appear somewhere and somehow. An angel performs a multiple or a single task to serve the one that rules over them. Now that's important for you to understand because angels have one particular job to do, and that is to do exactly what they're told to do by the one that rules over them. They perform tasks for whomever the master is, whether it be a good master or whether it be a bad master. How can that be? Because you have a difference between fallen angels and non-fallen angels. So, to set the foundation of our study, I want you to understand, first and foremost, you have to back up a little bit, change your opinion on what you've been taught, that angels are messengers. You need to get rid of that, and you need to understand that angels are an appearance by definition. Angels carry messages from their masters to men or to other angels. And we find in the Word of God, in the New Testament, an angel showed up and gave a great and wonderful announcement of the future birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a message. But we've had other angels do other things, and we'll see that throughout this lesson, where they had no message whatsoever, but they did have a job to do, and they did appear. So we know for an absolute fact, according to the Word of God, that angels exist. We know that angels exist without us ever seeing them. But seeing an angel, especially today, is not something natural. If someone comes to you and they tell you, well, an angel appeared unto me, and I felt utter and great and wonderful peace. First of all, they're lying, or they're hallucinating, or they just saw a devil who masqueraded himself as something that was peaceful and wonderful. When angels showed up in the Word of God, you find it throughout the entire Scripture. When they show up, what did the people do? They feared and trembled. They feared and they trembled. They didn't feel this overwhelming warmth of great peace. They feared and they trembled. So seeing an angel, especially today, is not natural. And it would be something that is so frightening to us to see an angel. Now, we've heard accounts by people like Joseph Smith and Mary Baker Eddy and Ellen G. White and Benny Hinn and all these people. They say they've seen an angel. An angel presented himself unto them. And every single time they say they felt comforted and all this and that. But I want you to remember when the apostles saw Christ on the seashore, what happened? Remember when after the death of Jesus Christ and Peter said, you know what? I'm a going fishing. I'm gone. And everybody else says, well, we're going with you. They all jumped in the boat and they toiled all night and they caught nothing. And they looked out there. They saw Jesus Christ on the seashore. What happened? They were afraid. Okay? They were frightened. There was fear involved, and they didn't even recognize him as Jesus Christ until John said, hey, you know what? I think that's the Lord. Then Peter grabbed his fisher's coat and jumped in the water because he was naked, the Bible says. Now, an angel, like I said, if an angel appears to someone, it is not something that is natural. And you're going to see this through the lesson. And again, I mentioned this to you this morning. If by chance you have a question about something I'm covering tonight, then let's ask that question. If it's not something I cover tonight, hold off, because it will be covered in weeks to come, and we don't want to get the cart before the horse. But if you see an angel, or what presents itself as an angel during the New Testament or the Age of Grace, something's wrong. You're going to find that out. The workings of angels are literally non-existent during the church age. And I shouldn't have even said that, because that's going to open up a whole can of worms, I understand. But we'll get into all these things here as time proceeds. So as we begin, we'll begin to cover angels in the New Testament in a few weeks to come. So I just want to suggest to you tonight that if the Lord allows us to be here, we'll tie all this together. Now turn your Bibles, if you will. Well, actually, I got this up top. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for you this evening. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12. Here is an example of angels being seen, and I want you to see what happens. Again, we're still under the introduction of angels. The Bible says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, you know that as what? Jacob's ladder. We know that as Jacob's ladder. But here's an example of angels being seen in the Word of God. In the Word of God. Now, let me ask you this. What message do those angels bring unto Jacob? He just saw them, right? That's the key. That's the key in understanding the definition of what an angel. He saw them first and testified that he saw them ascending and descending. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 22, and you can read that from up top. The Bible says, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me. And you remember that story. Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. And, of course, Darius the Mede shows up and he says, Daniel, are you okay? He says, yep, I'm good. My God has sent his angels or sent his angel to me, and he shut the lion's mouth. Now, you guys know the story of Daniel. When he was thrown into the lion's den, you understand all that. And you know that his angel was sent to shut the lion's mouth. But how did Daniel know that God sent the angel? Because he saw him. This is real simple. I know it's gonna mess up some of the things that you've been taught in the past, I'm sure, or things that you assumed. But the reality is, when you begin to study out angels, it's really a simplistic teaching, because you just take what the Word of God teaches and believe it. It's that simple. Angels are an appearance to perform a particular task to the one that they serve. Can I hear amen from that one? Amen. Now, this angel that came and sat in with Daniel, what message did he bring to Daniel? He came in there, he shut the lion's mouth, and the Lord said, fear not, the Lord is with you. The Lord brought the message to him and said, fear not, the Lord is with you. But he sent his angel, the appearance there, in order to protect Daniel and keep him safe. So let's look real quick at the angel's origin. The origin of angels, if you will. Angels are created beings. Now I want to tell you this. We've all heard the little saying, when a little baby's born, oh, you know, he's just such a little darling angel. He's just such an angel. I know what people are meaning when they say that, and no offense, but angels are not begotten. Angels are not born. Angels are created beings. It's that simple. And you can run every single one of the references down, and you can find it, and you'll be amazed at what you'll find when you start running down the backgrounds of different words and what they mean and where they come from, and you'll find out that you'll actually get into studying your Bible. You know, the Bible says to study to show thyself to prove unto God, a workman that needeth not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let me say this to you. A workman is only going to be as good as the tools that he's using. Therefore, if a workman is taking his theology and the understanding about angels or anything in the Word of God for that matter, if he's taking his theology from that which has been passed down through tradition or through man's opinion, then he's going to be ashamed to God. God's going to be ashamed of him. So with that said, I want to conclude this thought on this point on angels and who they are. Angels are created beings, amen. They're created beings. They're not conceived. They're not anything else. They are simply created beings. I'm saying all that as by way of introduction so that you can start to change your ideologies on what you may have been taught concerning angels. I mean, we're going to get into several topics that will, I believe, in some way change some things in your life. Now, we're looking at the origin of angels still. We do not have an exact time of the creation of angels. We do know this. I believe in all of my heart that angels were created either prior to day one or on day one of creation. Okay, now turn over to Genesis chapter 1 with me. We're going to look at this for a brief moment. There were 6 days of creation, and we know how God goes through it in Genesis 1. I would lean about 98 to 99% sure that angels were created either prior or on day one. I'm going to lean. Let me bring that down just a little bit closer tonight. Don't throw a shoe at me. Personally, I believe there's a great chance that angels were created on day one. I'm being a little bit kind and not too ultra dogmatic over the fact of saying that it is on day one. I'm going to lean a little more. I'm going to lean just a little toward day one rather as opposed to prior to the days of creation. Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And he said, now, wait a second, preacher. What does that prove? I want you to hang on just a second, and I want you to see that angels were created before necessarily the earth was formed. It was without form and void, but without before it was formed. You can read from up top Job in chapter 38. Job in chapter 38, and in verse 4, this is what the Bible says. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? He said, declare if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, many people feel as if angels were probably created on day one, and I believe that. Many people believe they were created beforehand. I don't necessarily lean that direction. I believe that the Bible supports it a little greater if you start cross-reference the verses together correctly. I believe the Bible supports it better that angels were probably created on day one. If they were not, I don't have a problem with that, but they were not created after day one. That's a fact. Okay? The Bible doesn't give us necessarily a specific day. It doesn't give us a specific time. However, I believe personally, I'm repeating this for like the fourth time, I believe personally that they were created on day one. You say, why? Because of verse 7 that we just read in the book of Job. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, you're in Genesis chapter 1. The reason I believe that it was prior to day 2 is because I believe, according to the Scripture, that there's a good chance that Lucifer himself, and we're going to get into who Lucifer is and who he was and what he looks like, and we're going to get into that here later on. I believe he fell on day 2. You say, preacher, why? Now look there in verse 6. The Bible says in verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. The evening and the morning were the second day. Now go back with me to the first few verses that we read. You go up there, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God called, or divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and even in the morning were the first day. Now skip down to verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. Let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, gathered together of the waters, called the sea, called he seas. God saw that it was good. Now, just out of those first 3 days, and we could go through the whole days of creation, but out of those first 3 days, what is inherently different with the second day than there is with the first and the second, or first and the third? Good, bingo. Brother David said that he didn't say the day was good. He didn't mention the word good is removed from day two. Now, the reason I believe in all of my heart that that was the day that Lucifer fell, because it's not recorded in the 6 days of creation that God said that day was good. Now, I understand as he looks back and he says that his whole creation is good, and that's fine. But that's the work that he had created. But this particular day, there's a reason it's left out. Okay? You say, why is that important? Why do you believe that Lucifer fell on day two? Because I believe he was created on day one as well with the rest of the heavenly beings. Why do I believe that? Read from up top, Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? The word Lucifer means light bearer. Lucifer was the second in charge. He was in charge of that which was separated, the firmament from the firmament, the first heaven and the second heaven. He was in charge of the first and second heavens. We find out that Adam was given dominion over the earth, yet lost it by transgression. So we'll get into that in a minute. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down the ground which didst weaken the nations? Let me ask you this question here just briefly this evening. If Lucifer is called the son of the morning, didn't there have to be a morning for him to be the son of? That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, that's just common. I think that's just common sense, simple deduction. Now I said that, and I'm going to come back over here. So if he was the son of the morning, then it would conclude that he could really probably only be created on day one because he fell on day two, I believe, because it didn't say the day was good. You say, now, preacher, do you have any dogmatic evidence that he fell on that day? No, but neither do you to disprove it either, amen. So that kind of makes it fun. But I lean toward him falling on day two. I believe it is more of a dogmatic fact that he was created on the first day because he is son of the morning, the first morning. I believe under the same precept that we are going to say that Lucifer was created on day one, because there had to be a morning. Prior to day one, there was not a morning. Okay? Prior to day one, it was eternity. What does evening and morning, what does that give us? Time. Amen. Prior to day one, it was eternity. Day one came in, gave us a half a day. Morning. Day one came in, gave us another half a day. Evening. Now you notice evening and morning, not morning and evening, okay? Because that's the Hebrew calculation of time is from evening to and morning rather than we do it morning to evening. So anyway, under the same teaching, under the same thought that we find that Lucifer's created the son of the morning, Genesis 1 verse 5 says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Under that same consideration this evening, if there had to be a morning that Lucifer was the son of, according to Job chapter 38, would it not also make a sense that there had to be a morning that the angels and the heavenly beings and the morning stars that shouted for joy, did there not have to be a morning for them to be the morning stars of as well? Absolutely. Absolutely. Under the same simple deduction that we're teaching that Lucifer was created on day one, I believe we can conclude tonight that the angels were created on day one as well. And you say, preacher, would you argue over that? Not at all. It's not worth it. Amen. What we're doing here in this lesson, this is the dessert. Amen. This is the ice cream. This is the cherry on top. The meat and the potatoes is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is what is really important. This stuff is fun. But when you get down to the meat and potatoes of the matter, it's about saving souls and seeing them born again. Somebody say amen to that. Angels were created beings, we got to remember that. Here's the key. Here's what, you know, people ask me, they say, well, you know, the name of your church is New Testament Baptist Church. And I've been asked that over and over and over and over and over. Why do you only believe the New Testament? No. I mean, I believe the entire scriptures, all 66 books of the Bible. Our church was established as a New Testament church. Why? Because that's when the churches showed up in the New Testament. Amen. New Testament churches. I've never been one for catchy, cliche type of attractive names. If you want to know the truth, I wouldn't care if it just said church out there or Baptist church. It needs to be Baptist to keep pest out. Amen. A little bit of light attracts pests, man. Go home, leave the door open, turn the front porch light on, see what happens. Amen. But I just never, you know, healing waters, Holy Spirit of fire, Baptist church. I never have been one of those guys to where it has to be some kind of catchy phrase to bring people in. That's not me. So, but yeah, I believe in the whole scriptures. Amen. All 66 books of the Bible, I believe it's preserved. I believe it's purified and perfected in that King James Bible that I have on the platform or the pulpit right now. And with that book, we can conclude, we can find out the truth about angels and what we need to know in this world today. And frankly, what we need not to know. Amen. 90% of what you're going to hear on the Discovery Channel or the whatever channel or on TV or in the Hallmark store, 90% of what you're going to find is going to be wrong. It's just going to be wrong, guys. You'll find that Jesus Christ is throughout the entire Word of God. All things were created by Jesus Christ. All things were created for Him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones. Watch this now. This is important. Whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him are all things. By Him all things consist. Now what does that mean right there? What you just read in those scriptures, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. Guys, those are heavenly beings. Those are positions that God created, in the heavens. See, our mindset is all angels. And you're going to find out through this lesson that angels are not just every heavenly being that is created. But there's heavenly beings that are simply called dominions. All right. How many people have heard about a group of guys called minions? Somebody that are subordinate to someone, slaves or whatever, minions or whatever. Okay. You hear that. You hear it in books. You read it in books. You hear about the devil's minions, his people that are underneath him. They're demons or whatever. Okay. That's fine. But that just comes from the word dominions. It's a position. Someone that is subordinate underneath a ruler. Principalities. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Amen. Spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm going to get off track just for a second so that you clearly get this picture. When God separated the firmament from the firmament and did this and that, He took those waters and He separated and created three heavens. He had the third heaven, which dwells outside the realm of time, which is God's abode. Remember, Paul said that he was caught up into the third heaven. There is the second heaven, which is all of the vastness of the outer space. It is separated, as far as our earth goes, it is separated by a crystal sea. The end of the universe, there is a crystal sea there, a vast water that God did on day one that separated His entire creation. And God is on the other side of that thing. Through that crystal sea is called the second heaven. Lucifer was in charge of that second heaven. Amen? He was in charge of that thing. And then He made the first heaven when He separated the other water, the firmament from the firmament. You got that picture? Where is this other firmament here? What is that? It's our atmosphere. It's that simple. If you just think of one big black space and earth right there in the middle, there is a firmament that God said, I'm going to separate this firmament from this firmament. God's abode, third heaven, outer space, second heaven. The other firmament on the other side is the first heaven. What is that? That is our sky. Lucifer was given dominion over that first and second heaven. Adam was given dominion over the earth. Adam lost his dominion of the earth. By transgression, he fell because he sinned. So therefore, the God of this world took it over. All of it's God's. Don't mistake what I'm saying. But we wrestle against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. The God of this world and the prince of the air, the Bible speaks of. All of those things are important for you to understand because those are the levels of dominion, the levels of position that God created on day one. Some fail. What does that mean? That means that Lucifer, or Satan now, has powers and principalities and dominions that he took with them. Are those angels? They may be, they may not be. I know they are positions in heaven. There are cherubim. There are seraphim. Those are two opposite, separate, different positions and created beings that God created. They are not angels. February rolls around and people see a little naked baby flying around with wings and a little bow and arrow. And they call him what? A cherub. He's not a cherub. Number one, because he only has two wings. And we'll get into that later on. That's not a discussion for tonight. I'll throw it out there for you so just to get you eager on it. You've heard it before. Angels do not have two wings. Angels do not have wings, period. And a cherub doesn't have two wings. They got four. So let's move on. And all of that supported by Scripture. Amen? Say amen if you're awake tonight.
Amen.
All right. So, we know that there are three in heaven. We know that all three are in one. All these things, everything that consists by Jesus Christ. And the Word of God simply tells us that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, amen? They are one and they believe in one. Now, your new modern versions will say that they only believe in one. It doesn't say that they are one. That's the Holy Trinity, and that is what's dwelling today in creation. Now, you'll find out when we get through with all this. Why did I say all that I just said about Jesus Christ and about the three in one? You're going to find out, because I mentioned New Testament Baptist Church, throughout the Old Testament Scripture, you're going to find the appearance of Jesus Christ. Not the messenger of Jesus Christ, but the appearance of Jesus Christ. You'll find that he's called the angel of the Lord or the angel of God. Okay? And we'll see that here throughout the study. We're just still on the introduction aspect of it, and we'll go through. Again, I'm going to take it slow. I'm going to give you all that you hear tonight, let you bite and dwell on that throughout the week, and then we'll pick back up. Now, in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 5, you can read this from up top. The Bible says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, has crowned him with glory and honor." I want to emphasize this fact and emphasize this point to you this evening, because this is a good thought for the Christian mind. One has proposed, and they have taught this, that the image of Jesus Christ, and I mean his physical image and his physical characteristics, was determined prior to creation. And I honestly believe that. I believe that God, with his intimate foreknowledge, that Jesus Christ was already determined of what he would look like in his image and his characteristics prior to creation. Why do I believe that? Because Jesus Christ said, "I am the Alpha, he's the first, I am the Omega, he's the last. He is the beginning, he is the end. Jesus Christ always has been, Jesus Christ always will be." And I believe that the image of Jesus Christ was formed in the image of Jesus Christ was formed in the image of the Son of God. Therefore, when angels were created, as well as mankind, he created them in the image of the Son of God. That is important for you to understand and to get into our Christian mind tonight to understand what an angel looks like. Okay? Did Jesus Christ have wings? No, he did not. He didn't have four wings. He didn't have six wings. He didn't have any wings. He appeared on this earth like a man. Amen? And you're going to find out through our study that angels always appear as a man. They will never, ever, 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 ever in Scripture show up in any other shape, form, or fashion. So let's look tonight at the number of angels. This should be fun. How many people in here tonight believe that they have the exact number of angels? Raise your hand and tell me how many there are. Amen. Listen, I never claimed to be smart, and I sure ain't going to prophesy anything tonight, amen. Listen, angels, number one, are many in number. There are a multitude of angels, but there is no exact number of angels. We'll never come up with that. Turn over in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. Revelation in chapter 5 and verse 11. We'll see here. We'll look at how many angels there are. And I know many of you are here this evening and you want to hear, well, I want you to get into to what angels look like and get into all that good stuff that's controversial and all that. Just get through the foundation first. We'll get into the good stuff a little later on. Amen. So let's look at the number of angels. And now, there's no exact number to be known. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. And the Bible says, "And I beheld, and I heard a voice, the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." You almost said, "I got it. 10,000 times 10,000. But he continues on. All right. So according to this verse, we know there's many angels. There's no way on the face of the earth we're going to come up with a numerical value of how many angels there is. You read there in verse 11, it says 10,000 times 10,000. But the Lord throws in a monkey wrench in our calculation. He goes, "Oh, and thousands of thousands." That can go on forever and ever and ever. We have no idea how many angels there are. There is no way to come up with that numerical value. There's no way to know how many there is. And then when you even get into the midst of that aspect of how many angels there are, he throws in another part, says there's round about the throne. Hold that in your mind. We'll go over that a little later on. We know for a fact that there are more angels than what we read there. We know for a fact that there's a minimum of 36,000 to 72,000. There's either a minimum of 36,000 or there's a minimum of 72,000. Preacher, how do you know that? Well, as always, we're going to go to the Scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Now, what I just said, and listen carefully to me, I didn't say there's a minimum of 36,000 to 72,000. I'm not saying there's a maximum of 70,000. There's a minimum of 36,000 or a minimum of 72,000. All right? That is the minimal amount of angels there could be. Let me back up. That's the minimal amount of angels that are not fallen. Okay? And so you know that there's multitude more. Matthew 26, verse 53. Matthew 26 and verse 53. The Bible says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Now, what was important about that? Who was in power when Jesus Christ said what he said, and whom he said that to? Who was in power? Good job, David. Rome. So we know that there is a minimum of 36,000 angels or a minimum of 72,000 angels that are present before God right now. And I'm not even talking about the old devil. I'm not talking about that. But Matthew 26:53 says 12. He says more than 12 legions of angels. A legion can contain, a Roman legion could contain anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 men. 3,000 to 6,000 men. Remember the maniac of Gadara? What did that devil out of him, what did he say his name was? He says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That old boy had a minimum of 3,000 to 6,000 devils inside of him. 3,000 to 6,000 devils inside of him. I mean, Christians, can you imagine being possessed with 6,000 devils inside of you? I mean, it's no wonder the guy hung out with dead people in the cemetery and in a graveyard and cut himself and broke chains and did all that crazy. I mean, 3,000 to 6,000 devils inside that old boy. And what had happened when Jesus Christ showed up on the shore? He ran to him, fell to the ground, pled for mercy. "Hast thou come before our time?" Guys, y'all do understand that the devil knows this Bible better than we do. Amen? If the devil knows this Bible better than we do, you can guarantee you that he's educated his minions, his devils, and they know it better than we do. They know there's a time appointed for them to be tormented. And they knew when he showed up on shore, that time wasn't supposed to be yet. They got a little afraid because they also know he's God. And he can change things when he wants to. Amen? "Has thou come to torment us before the time?" Let's just be honest. There's millions upon millions upon millions of angels. So we know if you count a legion of 3,000 men, there's a minimum 36,000. If you count a legion of 6,000 men, there's a minimum of 72,000. According to Roman history, that's what consisted of a legion. So when Jesus Christ mentioned it in Matthew 26, he made it clear. He says, "Then said Jesus unto them," verse 53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Now, look up top here at Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. We know that there is at least millions of angels. Bible says in Daniel 7 verse 10, "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened." Now we know there are at least millions, but in reality, angels today are simply innumerable. We don't know how many. We know there's at least millions, if not billions, if not trillions. I mean, there's probably a good chance that there's more angels than our national debt is. Amen. I would imagine that might be close. I don't know. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 from up top. The Bible says that you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Friend, there is no way to place an exact number of heavenly beings. There's no way to place an exact number of angels. There is no way to place an exact number of what God created beyond our atmosphere here. There's just no way to know that. Now, time has failed us this evening, and I think it'd be wise to go ahead and close here. And what we'll do is we're going to pick up here next week in our lesson on the truth about angels.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com, or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615 615- 855-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 30072.